It sure is. And in just a moment, Yvonne Smith joins us. We're going to be talking about her research into the UFO alien abduction cases, including a multiple witness case, which could prove that the phenomenon is not a product of brain chemistry or psychological disorder. She's next on Coast to Coast AM. Yvonne Smith became concerned with victims of post-traumatic stress disorder in the late 1980s, and in 1990 received her certification from the California Hypnosis Motivation Institute. In 1990, she also immediately began to work with the PTSD victims, assisting them and encouraging them to work through and cope with this PTSD, as it's called. Observing that many of her subjects were describing a pattern of alien abduction and other close encounters, in 1991, she founded Close Encounter Resource Organization, CERO, which provides personal attention and maintains active monthly support group meetings where the victims share their thoughts and feelings about their unusual experiences. She's our guest tonight on Coast to Coast. Yvonne, welcome to the program. How are you?
I am very well, George. Thank you for having me.
And by the way, thank you for what you do, because there aren't a lot of people who commit the way you have committed to help people for whatever reason this is happening to them. Somebody's not listening, and I'm glad you are.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that kind of support. But first of all, George, before we start the show, how is your daughter?
Well, she's okay. They diagnosed her as having pregnancy diabetes, which could lead, they think, to just being a diabetic. Mm. And they're contemplating whether to induce the pregnancy. The little guy's born the end of November. And, you know, they were thinking they were going to grab him next week, as a matter of fact.
Sure. But that's what I heard you say.
So they're going to wait it out. We're going to see what happens.
Well, I want to first congratulate you on your grandson, and I'm sure everything's going to be fine. I'll say prayers. They'll be at my
prayers. Thank you. Thank you very much. How did you change your life into this area?
Well, as you told our listening audience earlier about my interest in working with people with post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a disorder anyone could experience after going through something very traumatic. Could be a car accident, a rape victim. You know, I work with so many different cases other than the UFO abduction cases. And it's so difficult to talk about how this path led me into this abduction research, but I began getting cases of people who were talking about having sightings with, you know, family members, groups of people. They were driving along a highway, and this could be many years ago, 20, 30 years, and they were having bits and pieces of memory come back to them. They were unable to sleep. Many of them were afraid of a certain stretch of road. They got into crying bouts, and they couldn't understand what was happening to them. And what happened, George, is that I started getting referrals from traditional therapists, from psychologists and psychiatrists, because they, after working with their patient for many years, they were unable to tap into this area. And many of them don't use hypnosis or hypnotic regression. Of course, one has to be very careful when doing that. And I started seeing a pattern with these cases, and then started reading about the subject. Mm-hmm. And eventually became acquainted with my mentor, who I totally respect, Bud Hopkins.
Oh, yes. Genius. Think the world of him, and a good artist too.
Oh, he's a wonderful artist, and I couldn't have studied with someone more talented and more caring. And of course, I work with Dr. David Jacobs. Mm-hmm. And the late John Mack. And you know, in comparing these cases as time went on, I mean, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm getting these really strange stories, And I would put it on the back burner, and then when I'd get together with, say, with my colleagues at a certain conference, I'd bring out a, you know, my notepad and say, do you have this in your cases? And then, you know, sure enough, they did. So, you know, after we start, you know, establishing patterns, George, it's not something that you hear once and then you think, okay, this is really happening. But when you hear it over and over and over again from people who do not know each other.
Mm-hmm. So your exposure has been with some of the who's who of this entire phenomenon.
I have been very, very fortunate in my work, being connected with these wonderful researchers and, you know, losing someone like Dr. John Mack, and we just, those of us in this field know we just can't afford to lose people like that.
No.
But those of us who are still plugging away at this, we know something is happening. This is not in these people's imaginations. They're not making this up because their lives are so dull. They don't know what else to do. I mean, I've heard it all. I've heard it all from, you know, being on several shows over the years and coming up against the debunkers. And it just, we just have to keep looking into this because this is a physical, a real phenomenon.
Do you know if John Carpenter is back in this field? He was a few years ago, mm-hmm. left it, social worker from Missouri, very good at this field as well.
Yes.
Is he coming back?
I believe he is slowly coming back. John and I traveled quite a bit back several years ago and lectured together. And I spoke with him. I was in contact with him a few months ago. And he's on the board of the online magazine. Oh, gosh, I just drew a blank on that. I'm so sorry. And I wrote an article for them. The JAR, I'm sorry, the Journal for Abduction Research.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, JAR. There's so much material here that I want to make sure I cover. But he is on the board of that, and it's an online email magazine. I don't know how often they will put the magazine out, but he is, as I said, he's slowly coming back. I told him we need him. You know, he's a good friend and a good colleague, so... I'm sure we'll be in contact.
Throughout the night, we're going to talk about some cases. But I want to get into with you now, Yvonne, what some say could be a product of brain chemistry or psychological disorder.
Right.
Now, we're talking of a situation that affects millions of people
yes.
across this planet.
Yes.
Let's talk, first of all, about brain chemistry or psychological disorder. How could that affect so many millions of people with similar events? I mean, is it in the brain that it would create alien grays, for example, and spaceships? I mean, that's what I find unusual.
Well, I do too. And as I stated before, George, over the years doing, you know, numerous shows, you know, where my colleagues and I have had to come up against debunkers, you know, many of them have said that they do have some type of a psychopathology, some type of disorder. But how can they explain away, you know, first they say it's because there are bedroom visitations. I don't know how familiar you are about this, George, but there are bedroom visitations where people are rendered paralyzed. They have beings coming into the room. They are taken from their environment. However, okay, and they could explain it away. They try to explain it away as saying they have sleep paralysis. Okay, maybe in some cases, I think we all at one time or another have experienced sleep paralysis. However, how do they explain, and they can't explain it, when individuals are driving down a busy freeway, like here in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
or down a highway in the, you know, anywhere in the United States, and they are not asleep. And most of them are not asleep. They are wide awake. It's not always at night. There are other people with them. It's not always, you know, they're by themselves in the middle of a cornfield. you know, I have found that the debunkers have just had their pat answers over the years. And, you know, they cannot explain those cases.
Are you ruling out military intervention, human intervention?
You know, I'm not ruling it out, George. You know, I'm a researcher, so I have to keep an open mind and objective and look at everything. And I know I've heard from a few people about the, you know, so-called my lab types of abduction. However, I have not had those abductions or the my labs in my caseload. I've been doing this for 17 years. I feel that many of them can be screen memory. I mean, these alien beings, whoever they are and whatever they're doing, can place a vision or can make someone see something else than what is actually happening.
Right. They can create something in one's brain.
And we call that, you know, screen memory.
Yes.
So perhaps by having the person see someone in a military uniform, it may not be as threatening, perhaps, as seeing an alien being. But, you know, who knows? I mean, we don't have definitive answers at this time. That's what makes us so frustrated. But no, I'm not ruling it out. And I understand, and I believe the people who are you know, claiming these things, that we have to look at everything.
Well, you know, Dr. David Jacobs, whom you mentioned, whom you know,
yes,
kind of stands apart from the other individuals in that he believes that there's a very evil reason that this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the others, you know, they've been on this program, and prior to Dr. Mack's death, I think he was on with Art a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that, you know, it's extraterrestrial, that there's something going on, maybe genetic altering, maybe to help their own civilization. But David Jacobs believes there's something scary going on here. Do you prescribe at all to any of his thoughts?
You know, David and I had an in-depth conversation earlier this year at the UFO Congress. And, you know, we were talking about what was coming out in the research, his research, and in some of my cases, and what, you know, what he's finding and what he feels is that they are perfecting the, you know, so-called hybrids, where they're already down here among us and learning how to live among us. And they're learning these things by the abductees, experiencers. When they are abducted, they're taken, say, on the craft, and they're told to show these hybrids how to do the simplest things. And I just, you know, the implications are frightening, George. I mean, okay, I understand if they want to try to live down here among us, you know, I would welcome them.
Why would they want to?
But that's the thing. I mean, I want them to tell me what's going on, first of all, since I'm working in this, you know, in this research. But, you know, if they need to come down here and live among us because perhaps maybe they can't live on their planet anymore, but do they want to live side by side with us, or do they want to, you know, take over like Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Well, in your opinion, and you believe that this is real, we'll get into a lot of this. Give me the possibilities. I'm sure you've thought about them, on what you think they want, why they're doing this. What are the possibilities?
Gosh, well, okay. Obviously, they are very interested in our genetics, in our DNA. I mean, they're taking sperm samples, ova, skin samples, blood samples. We know that in the research, they have produced these hybrids. I mean, I have, you know, just about every case has been shown these hybrid babies, hybrid children. I've had, you know, women with, you know, very strange pregnancies, and they're, you know, they're taken up on board and they're shown their so-called baby, but yet they can't bring them back down here because they're told they can't live here. So what's happening with all these babies, these children? You know, they're eventually going to grow up.
You don't think they're being slowly moved into society here, these little children?
You know, I'm starting to move more towards that direction. I have a case that's...
Because they don't look alien.
No. In the beginning, they did. I mean, in the beginning...
When they were just learning how to do this.
Right. You know, it's...
What happened to them?
They're perfecting it. I mean, they're perfecting their technique. And I feel that some may already be here. I mean, I've had some very strange cases. This one case I presented for the first time when I lectured in Roswell this past July. And this one particular case, this person came in to this restaurant and stood in front of this woman who was sitting having coffee. He looked, she said, very clean cut. I mean, very tall, he was blonde, very fair. And what was unusual about that, and I was telling my audience that this was predominantly a Hispanic neighborhood where this woman worked.
Mm-hmm.
And having her coffee break. And here this person who's like, it was over 6 feet tall, very blonde, very fair, you know, he would have stuck out like a sore thumb.
Sure.
In that neighborhood. But what was really frightening to this woman, she didn't feel threatened by him, but she said because he could read her mind and he knew what she was thinking. And she said, the way he looked at me, I have it on tape. I interviewed this woman and she still cannot draw a picture of this individual. She said, I don't think I'm supposed to remember. But she ran out of that restaurant and called her boss and said, there's somebody that's talking to me. But of course the boss took it like, you know, this guy's trying to pick this woman up. But she just said he was just so different. But not that he looked alien, like the, you know, our typical, you know, gray beans with the big eyes. He looked very human, but very perfect. And I'm getting
I'm beginning to think the grays might be, androids.
Right.
Something like that. There's something going on.
We feel they're the little workers. They're the ones that come and snatch people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but with genetic alterations, you know, they're either trying to help us or they're trying to help themselves. And if they're trying to help themselves, why pick on us in the universe? Surely there's got to be a closer society somewhere that you can tap into, or are we that unique?
Well, that's the big question, George. There's obviously something that we have that they need.
Free will.
Yes. And so, you know, but I'm getting these reports about these human-looking beings, but they know they're not human. They're not quite human because they could read someone's mind. And I've shown them in my slide presentation for years, you know, in presenting them as the, you know, human-looking aliens, but now, you know, could they be the perfected hybrids?
All right, stay with us, Yvonne. We'll be back with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with researcher Yvonne Smith, of course. She's working on a book, Chosen, recollections of UFO abductions through hypnotherapy. We'll talk with her about that, too, tonight. And later on, we'll open up the phone lines. Maybe people who have been abducted, or at least they think they have. So genetics and DNA, again, we don't know if they're doing it for us or for them, but that's one possibility. What are some others out there? Why they are doing what they're doing? Yvonne, are you there?
Oh, I thought you were still talking to our audience. Sorry about that, George.
I caught you nappy, didn't I? I thought maybe you were abducted for a moment.
Oh, no. They wouldn't care.
Yvonne, wake up!
I'm sorry about that. I was just listening to you. You know, I don't think their whatever their operation is for our benefit. I think that what they're doing, and they have a task. They have this huge operation going. Who knows if they're going to stop and, you know, and go away or continue this. But I don't think they're here to save us from ourselves. But on the other hand, and you mentioned my book Chosen, and in Chosen and the different cases that I put in there to share with the reading audience, is almost every one of my cases, they have been told that we need to wake up and start taking care of our planet. During the course of their abduction, when they're on board, they're taken into a particular room and shown images of devastation, and I cover this in my my lecture. You know, of course, their reaction is studied.
Do you know John Sparks?
Jim Sparks.
Jim Sparks.
Yes,
yes.
I do. In fact, I met him in Laughlin earlier this year, and I would love to invite him to speak for Ciro at some point. But his story is very interesting.
Yeah, and it's much down the alley of what you've just said.
Exactly, and it's amazing to me. I have interviewed the subjects of my book to do a follow up on their lives and how they're doing now, because I've worked with some of these people for years, and this is what they've been told. You know, lately, it is this a feeling they said they get sometimes that we're destroying our planet, we're destroying ourselves. Of course, you know, look at us, George. We can't even get along with each other down here. You know, people go, why don't they just come down here and show themselves? And I'm thinking, why would they? You know.
So what about this possibility? One, they may be seeding with these hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
Other planets, and they're making them environmentally friendly to whatever that planet it might be. Possibility. Two, they're going to come here one day and wipe us all out because, you know, almost like the great flood of the old days of Noah, they've decided that mankind isn't worth it anymore. And then they implant all these hybrids that they've been keeping and collecting over the years to start fresh on the planet. Is that possible?
Well, that certainly is possible, George. And that's why, you know, I think, you know, my conversation with David Jacobs, you know, it's frightening when you stop and think about, because we don't know what they're doing, what their ultimate plan is. You know, so far they've taken people and, you know, brought them back, as far as we know. But that certainly is possible because, you know, it seems like they, like I mentioned before, they're training these hybrids to come down here and just do the simplest things, just live on a day-to-day basis. Those are the ones that it seems, the ones that David was telling me about are, I think maybe someone might notice that they don't know how to go through a grocery store, you know, or, you know, dress like we do or tie their own shoes.
Right.
But the ones that some of my clients have come across are the ones that are very human looking, very, you know, very capable. You know, they can read their mind. They're very psychic. They know they look human, but there's just something about them. They say something about their eyes that they know that they're different. So, you know, here we have this operation going on, and I think it's on different levels.
Well, it's got to be one or the other. And I'm beginning to tip toward the way David Jacobs mm-hmm. thinks, and well, that is that they're just not too happy with us.
Well, you know, look at what we've been doing. I mean, and it's amazing. You know, I'm starting to think about Al Gore. Could he have gotten some of these messages as well when he came out with his Inconvenient Truth? I mean, it was just amazing, you know, the message that was in that film.
With his maybe 9 inaccuracies.
Yeah.
according to an Amsterdam judge or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, really? Well, but, you know, it was just, you know, he's very, you know, thinking about the planet and when Ciro, members of Ciro get together for the monthly meetings, you know, they talk about this. They talk about how, you know, over the years they've been getting these messages and they feel that something is coming soon.
Did you ever think, Yvonne, while you were talking to these people who claim to have been abducted, that they're just a little off center?
No.
And that you never ever, that never even entered your mind?
Not the ones that I have been working with, you know, as part of my clientele. Now, of course, George, I have, you know, in the last 17 years, I've had calls and people coming into my office for initial interviews that I definitely knew that I couldn't help them. And, you know, what they were telling me was not familiar at all with the phenomenon.
Well, because they needed a psychiatrist, you think?
Exactly. So, I politely tell them that I could refer them to someone, and I do work with a group of therapists. We share offices. So in their writing, you know, when they send back their questionnaire, for instance, I can tell that, you know, this person, you know, they need help way beyond what I can help them with. But in my book Chosen, I've included the actual transcripts of these cases. I wanted to share that. What I'm trying to do with the book, George, and by doing shows like this, is I'm trying to, and I think all of us are, trying to capture the attention of the mainstream media.
Sure.
And I know that with your work all these years in what you do, you know, I'm grateful to a show like this, and thank you for doing it, because you're allowing people like myself to be able to come on and talk about our work, which is very serious and we take very seriously. And see, the reason I say I've not questioned my Ciro members or my other clients that have come in that are not joining Ciro yet, but because many of them have been referred to me by psychiatrists and psychologists, so they've been through years of traditional therapy and medication, and they were still exhibiting the PTSD symptoms until I took them through hypnotic regression and went to the cause of the problem. And, you know, it was the because they were taken and these things were happening to them. And not just, you know, this runs in family. So it's not just the individual. It's an entire family.
How many of them say that they were taken during their sleep stage as opposed to daytime, for example, when they're just walking around or something?
Oh, you know, gosh, I'm not really great with percentages, but I think the majority are awake and driving and functioning, and they see a craft. I mean, these missing time cases are so. There's so many that I have in my case. So when Bud came out with his book, Missing Time,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just, you know, just the tip of the iceberg of what goes on.
Yeah, but I would have thought, though, that most of these things would have happened during the wee hours when people are asleep.
Well, of course, a lot of it does. I would say, you know, probably, you know, more than half they'll be awake and driving and functioning. But yes, it does happen. We call it, you know, in some of these cases, we call it the witching hour at 3 o'clock, 3:15, 3:30 in the morning for some reason.
Right.
But, you know, it just, you know, I just, I like to present the cases that where people are awake and functioning and with other people driving, because here we, you know, here we are again with the debunker saying that they're all having sleep paralysis and just dreams, you know. And if that were the case, people would not be coming back with, you know, very strange body marks that appear overnight and leaves and dirt in their sheets. You know, that's evidence. I mean, that's the evidence we have right now. You know, I wish I could bring on an alien on your show.
I'd love you to.
You know, but, or you know, an ashtray from one of the craft. But right now we have, as I present in my lecture series, you know, very strange body marks, the triangular shape marks that come up. You know, when I talk to doctors that I know and say, you know, how does somebody bruise like this, you know, in a geometric shape? And, you know, they have no answer for it. And like I said, with people that have leaves and dirt in their bed, I mean, you know, how does that happen if someone's just dreaming?
So you believe this is happening to people, and you believe whatever it is, it is definitely not of this world. Is that pretty fair to guess here?
That's pretty fair, George. Yes, I believe that this is a physical event. It's a real phenomenon. It's not in someone's mind. But, you know, those of us who are working, you know, eyeball deep in this, you know, we're very, very careful, of course, when we interview someone. We want to make sure that they, you know, perhaps have taken these many psychological tests. And we want to be sure that the person isn't making something up, you know, doesn't want the attention. But I'll tell you.
But that does happen.
It does happen, but we weed them out. I mean, it's almost like being, it's so hard to explain, George, but it's almost like being a detective. You just, after doing this for some period of time, you just have a feel for someone who, and I can tell when someone calls me on the phone. And I've had several emails already since I was announced to be on your show from people that, you know, feel that they've had some type of experience. And from the emails that I've received, I feel that these people are very sincere.
Well, Yvonne, does it bother you, the fact that you believe that whatever is going on is not really a good thing? Does that bother you? Does it scare you? Does it concern you?
You know, it of course it concerns me, because I know that they know what I'm doing. So, you know, because they follow these abductees around, you know, and if they are implanted, if they are in fact implanted, then, you know, they can track them. But, you know, I just feel that I can't just walk away from this. I mean, I had to take a very short hiatus because of some personal things that were happening in my life. And I felt that I couldn't give zero and my clients my 100%. And, you know, if you're meant to be in this field, it won't let you go very far and for very long. And you just come right back. And because there's so many people that need help, and the traditional therapists don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, they just, when they talk to me, and some of them tell me that, you know, gee, this could be happening, but, you know, don't mention my name. It's really unfortunate, because if, say it's not happening, George, say abductions is not happening, and it's all in these people's minds.
Right.
We still have a problem.
Yeah, a huge problem.
We still have, and to me, that's a bigger problem. So, you know, so yes, it, you know, it frightens me at times, but when I get calls and letters from my CIRO members, especially when I came back into the field, saying, you know, they really appreciated, you know, having the group and having the support, you know, and when I see growth in my clients, and when I see them functioning, because when they came to me, they couldn't function, they couldn't work, they couldn't sleep. That's what keeps me going, George. Because you do a lot of this research out of pocket.
Well, that's true. We're going to get into your CIRO, your Close Encounter Resource Organization, at the top of the hour.
Great.
And some of the hypnotherapy and the kinds of people that you've talked to. How do they come to you, Yvonne? How do you find them?
Well, I don't find them. They
come to you.
It's basically, you know, over the years, it's been through referrals, through my colleagues, through my clients that I'm already working with. They'll refer their family members or people they know, people they work with. I have my, like when I lecture, and I just came back from Ireland, you know, I lecture across the United States. I mean, I have my business card and I have my website on there and my business phone, and, you know, and on my website, it has the information kit on there that, that Bud had written and graciously let me use on my website for years. So it's basically a referral, on a referral basis. And it's amazing because, you know, when someone hears about my work and someone brings in their coworker, I mean, this is very widespread, George.
It sure is. Now,
do you remember the Roper organization, the Roper Call?
Oh, absolutely.
Back in, when did they do this? In 1991?
I quote it all the time.
They came out with 5 million American people who could, you know, who experienced something anomalous that could point to something like an abduction. I mean, that's mind-boggling. And to think that our media here in the United States blocks all this out. The sightings happen all over, and we don't hear about it. And then when we do hear about it on the news, it's kind of like almost like a tongue-in-cheek attitude that they still treat this subject. And it really is unfortunate. And you know, this is what I'm trying to get this out of the closet. And I'll tell you, it isn't easy at times. When people find out what I do.
It's not. And Yvonne, if people want more information on your work, would you give us your website?
Yes, it's www.ysmith.com. That's my first initial and last name, ysmith.com.
When does Chosen come out, by the way? And we'll talk about that the next hour as well. But when does it come out?
Chosen is going to be published by after the first of the year. And in time, I'm going to be launching it at the 2008 UFO Congress, where I will be lecturing. And I think all those listeners out there should go. It's an excellent conference, as you probably know, George. Bob Brown and Nicole do
people.
A wonderful job.
All right, stay with us. Yvonne Smith, our guest. We'll get into some of her work, her research, some of her patients, without giving their names, obviously. We'll be back.